Our scripture reading this morning is found in 1 Peter chapter 5. Hebrews, James, 1 Peter. We'll read that entire chapter in connection with Lord's Day 52. First Peter chapter 5. The elders, which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you. So doth Marcus, my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. That far we read in God's holy inspired word. I want to call your attention to one verse in particular in connection with Lord's Day 52, and that's the 8th verse. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. It's in light of that verse and many other verses of Scripture that the Catechism gives us the instruction that we find in Lord's Day 52. Questions and answers 127 through 129, found on page 27 in the back of the Psalters. I'll read that. Lord's Day 52, which is the 6th petition, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That is, since we are so weak in ourselves that we cannot stand a moment, and besides this, since our mortal enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh cease not to assault us, Do thou therefore preserve and strengthen us by the power of thy Holy Spirit, that we may not be overcome in this spiritual warfare, but constantly and strenuously may resist our foes, till at last we obtain a complete victory. How dost thou conclude thy prayer? For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. That is, all these things we ask of thee, because thou, being our King and Almighty, art willing and able to give us all good. And all this we pray for, that thereby not we, but thy name, thy holy name, may be glorified forever. What doth the word Amen signify? Amen signifies, it shall truly and certainly be. For my prayer is more assuredly heard of God than I feel in my heart that I desire these things of Him. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, when the Holy Spirit works in our hearts, He shows us two things about our sins. In the first place, He shows us the guilt of sin that causes us to deserve the punishment of God. God shows us the guilt of our sins so that we pray then, remove from me blood guiltiness. I am ashamed, we pray to our God, even to lift up my face before thee, because my iniquities are over my head. We confess to God, we have no excuse. We are guilty. And so we pray the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Be pleased, for the sake of Jesus Christ, not to impute to us, poor sinners, our transgressions, nor that depravity that always clings to us. Forgive. Forgive me and forgive all thy people. Even as we feel this evidence of grace in our hearts that we forgive others. God shows us the guilt of our sins so that we pray for forgiveness. But when God works in our hearts, He also shows us the corruption of our sins. He shows to us that old man. He shows to us that sinfulness that yet is within us. And then causes us more and more to hate our sins and to flee from those sins. Over and over, we see ourselves falling into the traps of the devil. And we want to be done with sin. We want to leave off our sins. We don't want to sin against our God. So we pray the sixth petition. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. As you and I recognize the seriousness of that warfare, that will be our petition as expressed in the Lord's model prayer. Let's consider that petition then under the theme, lead us not into temptation. Let's note in the first place the constant need that we have, and that constant need is due to our enemies and our own weakness. The strength of our enemies and our weakness. That in the first place, the constant need. Then secondly, the urgent requests that we make. And lastly, the confident expectation of God's answer. For us to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, implies that you and I don't want to sin. We want to leave off sinning. And according to the new man, we don't even want to be tempted to sin. Because we know that when we are tempted, we are so prone to sin against our God. We have the desire, and we know that we are inclined to all kinds of wickedness. And so we know that we have need of grace. God shows to us our sins and our sinfulness, shows to us our inclination to all kinds of wickedness, and by that shows us also our need of grace. And our need of grace essentially rests in those two things that the Catechism brings out. In the first place, the strength of our enemies that surround us, but also our own weakness. We don't always recognize the dangers that surround us. A vivid memory when we used to live in Canada was going up to the mountains, and now and again you see a bear by the side of the road. And of course, people pull over, and it always strikes me how close tourists, we ourselves, I suppose, could be considered that, but how close people would get to a mother bear and her cubs, thinking that they can approach closer and closer and everything would be fine. They don't realize the danger of this wild animal. But the devil is far worse than a mother bear and her cubs. A mother bear and her cubs, that mother bear will act in order to protect her cubs. The devil is not simply a mother bear trying to protect her cubs. The devil goes about deliberately seeking whom he may devour. Not just going about its own business and then being threatened by some tourists, but deliberately going about to destroy God's people. And so Peter says, be sober, verse 8 of 1 Peter 5. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He devotes serious effort to destroy God's people. Recall Peter again. We mentioned Peter last week. I mentioned Peter again, who had experienced just how deadly an enemy is the devil. Jesus had warned Peter Luke 22, verse 31, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. He has evil plans. And we know what happened when he ignored the danger. Well, we are like Peter. When we ignore the danger of the devil, who in their right mind would do that? Knowing that the devil is going about, who in their right mind would think to ourselves, that's not such a serious thing? But we are not always in our right mind, are we? And we forget the danger posed by the devil. Not only that, we get too close to the world. We expose ourselves to sin and to temptation as if it were really not that big of a deal. And maybe that takes the form of going to a news website. Well, what could be wrong about going to a news website? I want to read the news, except when on that news website there are all kinds of pictures on the side and other suggestive titles, then I expose myself to temptation. Why do I have to go to that site? Or if we read a novel and say, I'm only reading for entertainment. But if that novel contains all sorts of descriptions of things that we ought not to be reading, we are exposing ourselves to the world. Or we invite the world into our living rooms, turning on the television. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33 says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. That is, evil communications, evil companionships are going to corrupt good morals. They affect us when we get too close to the world, or we hang around, we fellowship with those who are ungodly. And if that's not bad enough, not only does the devil attack us, not only does the world come against us, our sinful flesh is all too willing to listen and to be affected by those enemies. Our old sinful flesh wants only to live for self. Even apart from the devil and apart from the world, if we lived on an island all by ourselves, no other people, we still would want to wander away from God. Our old flesh would. James 1 verse 14 says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. The desires, our own lust, our own desires can become idols to us that take the place of God, that draw us away from God. We look to those idols for happiness instead of looking to God for happiness. The devil and the world and our own sinful flesh all together conspire against us to draw us away from God. How strong are those enemies that constantly assault us? And then add to that our weakness, our inability. We need to be reminded how frail we are. Because when we forget that, we become self-confident. And that shows that self-confidence shows itself when, for example, someone else falls into sin and we think to ourselves, how could they be so dumb? How could they be so weak? I would never do that. Maybe we don't say the words, but we think those thoughts. And that shows our self-confidence. Take heed. If we have that kind of self-confidence. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 12 says, therefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Because the truth is, whatever sin it is, that it is possible for us to fall into, we could very well go there. We think of some sins and just imagine that that would never happen. Like Peter. Take heed. Jesus teaches that we are weak. And therefore teaches us to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Exactly because we are weak, we need to pray that petition. And that's what Jesus told Peter as well. Matthew 26, 41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we forget that. Jesus is teaching us to pray that we will not be put into such a difficult position that we would be unable to keep ourselves from stumbling into sin. And given the right circumstances, we could and we would fall into all kinds of sin. Our canons recognize the great need of praying to God in our weakness. And I want to read a section out of the canons, the fifth head, article 4. The fifth head, article 4 says, although the weakness of our flesh cannot prevail against the power of God, who confirms and preserves true believers in a state of grace, yet converts are not always so influenced and actuated by the Spirit of God as not in some particular instances sinfully to deviate from the guidance of divine grace, so as to be seduced by and comply with the lusts of the flesh. That's the reality that we all deal with. We are often seduced by and comply with the lusts of the flesh. And then the canons goes on to express, therefore, they must therefore be constant in watching and prayer that they be not led into temptation. Constant. We need to be praying that we be not led into temptation. When a circumstance arises that we know will tempt us to, say, lose our temper, then we pray, Lord, help me in this circumstance that I may not lose my temper, but that I may show forth the love of Christ. Constant in watching and prayer. The canons goes on, when these are neglected, They are not only liable to be drawn into great and heinous sins by Satan, the world, and the flesh, but sometimes by the righteous permission of God actually fall into these evils. This, the lamentable fall of David, Peter, and other saints, described in Holy Scriptures, demonstrates. The strength of our enemies and the weakness of our flesh put us in constant need of grace. Therefore, we pray. We make an urgent request to God because we are not being careless. When we see our weakness, when we see the dangers, that's not careless. When we pay attention to those dangers and pray, as long as the devil goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, as long as the world surrounds us as servants of the devil, as long as we have our old sinful flesh, which is the whole of our lives, we will always be in danger. There's not a place in this world, there's not a time in all of our lives where we are not in danger. We can't say to ourselves, now I am free from danger. Not even in church. Not when we are praying. Not when we are serving in some aspect the kingdom of Christ. We are never out of danger. So we pray, Lord, do not let me face a tempting circumstance. And if that tempting circumstance must come my way, then give to me the grace that I need to withstand the wiles of the devil and the temptations of the world and the lusts of my own flesh. Who can afford to be careless in light of the danger? Who can afford to be careless? Who can afford to say, what's the big deal with just one or two pictures? I'm not hurting anyone. That's what carelessness says. Caution says, if I allow myself to sin in this way and travel down this path, if I allow myself to go that far, what's going to keep me from going further and further away from God? Carelessness says it's okay to speak and to be friendly and speak intimately to someone of the opposite sex at work. Caution says, I need to put a hedge around myself because I am capable of falling. The earnest prayer, lead us not into temptation, is a prayer that expresses an attitude of caution. Spiritual danger is what makes this petition so urgent for us. Satan is not going about seeking to do us good. He's seeking as best he can to destroy you and to destroy me. He wants to kill you spiritually, if he could, and bring you and me to hell. He wants not to give us good, but in the end to make us as miserable as possible. All the while lying to us, saying, the way of sin is the way of joy. This will bring you joy. Simply follow this way instead of the way that God sets before us. It is true, the devil and all the world coming against us are not able to destroy us. It's true that the weakness of our flesh cannot prevail against the power of God to save us. It's true that the devil and the world cannot prevent God from accomplishing His saving work. The world and the devil cannot take away our salvation. And it is even true that God will turn all things together for our good. But we make a serious mistake, beloved, if we then conclude that sin cannot hurt us. The Canons goes on in that fifth head to describe the hurt that sin can do. Article 5 of the same fifth head reads, by such enormous sins, however, they very highly offend God, incur deadly guilt, grieve the Holy Spirit, interrupt the exercise of faith, very grievously wound their conscience, and sometimes lose the sense of God's favor for a time, until on their returning into the right way of serious repentance, the light of God's fatherly countenance again shines upon them. Temptations, beloved, threaten our well-being. Just as being in close proximity to the edge of a cliff threatens our well-being, or being close to a wild animal threatens our well-being, here temptations threaten our spiritual well-being. And not only our own well-being, the well-being of those around us. That's the way the devil operates, because he knows if he can tangle us in sin, that will affect our families, that will affect whole congregations, that will affect denominations. He knows the power of sin. He knows the power of slander and all other kinds of sin. So the inspired apostle calls us to resist the devil. Resist the devil, steadfast in the faith. Actively set yourself against the devil. Oppose him. By seeing his schemes, recognizing his schemes, and then running from temptation and praying that God would give us grace. How urgent that we pray, lead us not into temptation. How urgent that we be sober and vigilant. Peter speaks of those two words, be sober and vigilant. That soberness has to do with an inward attitude. Being sober thinks clearly about the reality of temptations. Soberness thinks clearly about the reality of our weakness. Be sober. Think inwardly But also be vigilant. Look around you and see all the sources of temptation around you and avoid them. Be watchful and ready when those temptations come. Be on guard against both those internal attitudes and external temptations that are bent on destroying us. But we can't do that in our own strength. So we come back to the urgency of our petition. How needy we are of the grace of God. Because without that grace, we could not stand even for a moment. That's why the inspired apostle brings up in that section, 1 Peter 5, he says in verse 10, so we read verse 8 about being sober and vigilant. Verse 10 then is a prayer for God's grace. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. We need the grace of God to strengthen us that we might be sober and vigilant, because we are absolutely incapable in ourselves. When we pray the sixth petition, we are praying for three things that the Holy Spirit gives to us. Three things. In the first place, we are praying for preservation. Father, restrain Satan. Rule in all the world over whatever circumstances I may face, keep us, preserve us from temptation. Make us that preservation. Asking for that preservation is asking that God would make us sober and vigilant. Grant us grace. Grant us the means of grace in the body of Christ that would equip us so that we are sober and vigilant. Preserve us by Thy grace. That in the first place. We pray that the Spirit would preserve us, because if the Spirit preserves us, then we will be kept. Then we will not fall away. And if we do stumble, sometimes badly, like David or Peter, when God is with us, we will not fall away completely. We will not be overcome in the spiritual warfare. That in the first place. Preserve us. Secondly, strengthen. Preserve us and strengthen us in the battle. Strengthen us so that we may constantly and strenuously resist our foes. Strengthen us so that we would put on the whole armor of God. Strengthen us so that we would manfully fight against all of these enemies, our spiritual enemies. Preserve us, strengthen us, and then lastly, deliver us. Deliver us from sin and from Satan. When we fall, and as we stumble over and over again with our besetting sins, deliver us. Deliver us out of the snare of the devil. Grant to us Thy grace that we may return into the right way of repentance And grant to us that we may see again the light of Thy fatherly countenance upon us. Deliver us. And then finally, we said, preserve, strengthen, deliver. But ultimately, we pray for that final victory that God will give to all of His people. Grant to us that we may be brought to the perfection of heavenly glory. Free us completely from all the temptations that we face. Free us completely from our old man. Cast the devil and his servants into the torments of hell. Deliver us from all evil. For without Thy grace we are lost. When we pray, beloved, we ought to expect an answer to our prayers. God will answer those prayers with grace. He will answer our prayer, that sincere prayer, lead us not into temptation, by giving us grace to resist the devil. And He will work in us then that we would resist the devil in these three ways. There's more ways, but I give these three ways that God will work in us in that battle. He will give us grace so that someone struggling with a particular sin, God gives grace so that we seek accountability. If we are off by ourselves, apart from the body, with no accountability, we will have a much more difficult time fighting against the wiles of the devil. But God brings us into the body and gives us this tool, accountability. James 5, verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. That's speaking of a spiritual healing, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So that when we share our struggles together, husbands and wives or members of the congregation, when we share those struggles together, we open ourselves up to accountability, and God uses that so that we might resist the wiles of the devil. Secondly, God gives us grace. When we pray this prayer, He gives us grace so that we would take steps to avoid temptations. Avoid walking into the path of the wicked. God gives us the wisdom. When we pray, lead us not into temptation, He gives us the wisdom to understand. When I go down that pathway, I expose myself to temptation. I ought not go down that path. And every idol has a path that leads to it. The idol of sexual pleasure. If I allow myself to go down that pathway one step, then I'm willing to go down the next step and down that path. Or the idol of drugs, or the idol of alcohol, or the idol of riches. The devil tries to lure us down those paths toward those idols. But when God gives us grace in answer to our prayers, He gives us grace that we would avoid those paths. And avoid temptation altogether, like Job, to say, I have made a covenant with my eyes. God gives us accountability. He gives us that we would avoid going down the paths of temptation. And lastly, He gives us Scripture to answer. And this ties in with what we heard last week as well. God gives us Scripture to answer those temptations that the devil brings our way. That was what Jesus did. We covered that. When the devil came with his temptations, Jesus used the authority of Scripture to answer. Lead us not into temptation. God answers that prayer by giving us grace in these and other ways. Jesus knew, beloved, that you and I are weak. And He knew that when we prayed this petition and all of the petitions of the Lord's Prayer, He knew we would be praying as those who are weak. And so He teaches us to close our prayers with an expression of confidence and praise. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Thine is the kingdom. When we pray that, we are saying, Thou art the King. Thou art the one who as King desires to do good to all of those who are Thy subjects, to all who have been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of light. Thou art the King who desires good for us. And based on the redemption that Thy Son has given, Thou hast the right. Justice has been satisfied. The King has the right to do us good. Thine is the kingdom and the power. As the King, Thou art powerful and able to give us all that is good. Thou art able to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thou art able to give us all that we need for our bodies and our souls. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Thou who art the King will work through these things to bring glory to Thyself. Thou wilt bring glory to Thyself in the saving of Thy people. Thou wilt bring glory to Thyself as Thou dost preserve us and defend us against all the wiles of the devil. Thine is the glory. The Lord's Prayer started with that desire, that petition, that God's name would be hallowed, and it ends on that same note. Thine is the glory. When we pray, God answers our prayers. He answers the prayers of His people. And so Jesus teaches us also to pray, ending our prayers with that Amen. Ending the prayer with that expression that says, It shall certainly be. Not because of anything in ourselves. The certainty does not come from us at all, but is all from God. It shall certainly be. And so we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Preserve me and preserve all of Thy people so that we fail not in this warfare. Strengthen us that we may constantly and strenuously fight against the devil and all our enemies. Give to us at last the complete victory. Grant it. For Christ's sake, Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we give Thee thanks for Jesus Christ, And we give Thee thanks that we have forgiveness in Him, but also that through Him we receive grace. Grace that makes us sober and vigilant. Grace that gives to us strength to resist the devil steadfast. Grant to us that grace, we pray, as individuals, as a congregation, and as a denomination. Grant that grace to us and all of Thy people. We ask it in Jesus' name, amen.